Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. New talent.
From somewhere deep in the fields of Azeroth, just kidding, this isn't World of Warcraft. Welcome to Boxheads here on CodeBoxMedia.com and also heard on BlogTalkRadio.com. We are very, very, very much excited for this week. Kat, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing there, Baz? The luck of the Irish hit you tonight?
No, actually, it hasn't yet. Give that about an hour, and it might. It just might. But for those of you who are in the U.S. and actually celebrate this quote-unquote holiday, happy St. Patrick's Day. It is the Americans' another excuse to get completely hammered for no apparent reason. So, I mean...
Sure it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those weird holidays that you're just like, oh, cool, I can drink again. It's like Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving. So, yeah.
So are you Irish or have any relation to Irish in your family?
I am very Irish, yes.
Okay, so you're getting just completely out of it tonight, huh?
Yeah, because I'm gonna go to work like that. Yeah, that'll end well. Yeah.
Well,
I don't think
sorry,
so.
I'm not Irish. I'm only Irish by injection.
Ah, okay. Thanks for that. Sure. Wow. Thank you, Kat. I appreciate that.
I love that.
I know. How's your week been? What have you been up to?
I have been up to quite a bit. Gaming's kind of, you know me, with Mass Effect that's been out, I've just been playing a storm up, and you've seen on my Facebook how I've reached the elite status of Mass Effect right now, and I'm in the top 10%.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you are just, stop playing. You probably
should. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I'm drinking Ron Caribbean's rum mixed with Kool-Aid, so yeah.
Really? Going hard. Mixed with Kool-Aid. That is different.
Yeah, I'm hardcore.
Yeah, let's just alcohol and sugar together.
Yeah, you know, it works with me because I'll get really hyper and be fine the rest of the night. So, and it doesn't make me sweat either, unlike hot cocoa. So.
Hot cocoa, there you go. I feel sorry for your wife.
Okay. But, you know, this week is very interesting. I've had a lot of interesting experiences. I am starting to get some Dota stuff going on. So for those of you who are guys really interested in that, we'll talk a little bit later about that, and definitely talk a little bit more about Mass Effect 3, because Kat, you've actually beaten the game now, right?
Do I really have to say that?
Yeah, I know. I just kind of want to hear it from a person who's beaten it perspective, since you're the only one on the show that actually bought Mass Effect 3. So,
yeah. No, I completely understand that. When we get to that, I will definitely, you know, have my rant.
Awesome. Guys, if you guys wish to get in contact with us, please email us at boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. Tweet us at codeboxmedia. Facebook is /codeboxmedia. And the phone number to get in touch with any of us on the show live, ask a question, comment, love letter, death threats, et cetera, is 347-838-9713. And we have a very special guest in the studio with us. Kat, I know that you are very good friends with us, so I think I'm going to give you the honor today in introducing her.
I'm extremely excited as well. I was very giddy when I had talked to you last about having our special guest on tonight. And so tonight, CodeBox Media and Boxheads Podcast is proud to have Warren Weems on with us. He's the president and co-designer of Pitch Black Games and one of the geniuses behind the upcoming MMORPG Dominions. I am just thrilled to have Warren on here tonight.
That is wonderful, and we are live with Warren. Warren, sir, how are you?
Hello, how you doing?
Good, man, good. It is wonderful to have you. Very, very excited, like Kat mentioned, to have you. I cannot tell you how awesome this game looks. I I'll be honest. When I first saw it, I was like, okay, cool. You know, it's an indie game. That's really neat. But then I just kept reading about it. I was like, holy crap, this is so cool. They're doing all these really cool ideas. Oh, my gosh. Ah! So, I mean, it's awesome. It really, really looks amazing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Pitch Black Games and the history behind the studio and any other little secrets you wish to mention?
Sure. Well, that's quite an introduction there, but thanks a lot. I'm really happy to be here as well. And, you know, the studio is indie in all senses of the terms, but we really are trying to do something, you know, not indie. We're really trying to do something that's high quality and something to compete and have a really build up a good fan base. You know, it is a niche game, as you've probably seen. It has the PvP elements and things like that. But just to give you a little background on us, we are a small studio in Chandler, Arizona. We've been working on the game for about 2.5 years now is when we first got started. And, you know, it started out of a couple of ideas from John, who isn't here today. He's the other co-designer. He's sends his condolences, whatever you want to talk about. He was sad he couldn't be here today at a prior engagement. But he and I started working on this about 2.5 years ago. And we basically, some other of the people I'd worked with in the past had decided to fund it. They were looking for things, and they kind of looked into it. And we started Pitch Black Games. And one of the core things we did was get a bunch of industry veterans. So even though it is an indie title, we have a really good group of people who have worked on a lot of different MMOs before. You know, our lead animator worked on Warhammer, and he was at Turbine for D&D and Lord of the Rings MMOs. And we had our lead artist worked on Guild Wars and all types of people that have worked on things before, just to name a couple. But so the studio, we kind of got a really talented group and started working on it, and it's been really a labor of love for us. So I'm glad to hear all your impressions of the game so far. I know you haven't seen that much yet, but really it's been something that we've really been passionate about for the last 2 years, and we're just getting into testing, so we're really looking forward to getting all the feedback, and we've been kind of alphaing it for the last year almost. We started last April, but we're starting in the beta here really soon. So that's kind of a real quick synopsis. It's a small studio. We have about 25 people and 30 with contractors, so it's a good group. You know, it's a good size to make a game. And like you mentioned at the beginning in the intro, we're trying to fit all kinds of things in there. It is a full feature MMO. We didn't want to, you know, cut corners like a lot of games do, and we want it to be an immersive world, and so that's where we're trying to throw all these different elements into it. I don't know if that's enough.
That was actually it kind of led me into my question that I had when you had mentioned that you were, you know, kind of independently funded company. That I think that's a wonderful idea, because nowadays everything is so glorified. I mean, the hype of everything and you know, putting out so much money onto graphics and so forth, that there's so many games out there that really, you know, you see the hype and then you get in it and you're just like, this is it? I mean, where else is, you know, what I'm looking for? But tell us why the type of studio that you have differs from the larger gaming corporations, and why the fans are able to kind of expect more out of Pitch Black Games in terms of community involvement.
Well, we are John and I especially, and a lot of the guys in the studio are gamers first and foremost. I know that sounds almost cliche, but you know, we know what makes a good game, and we know what kind of game we want to play, and that's why we enjoy talking so much with other gamers, you know, and our forums are full of them. And a lot of the things that we do, we take heed to the things that they're recommending and saying. And so that's the kind of thing that we can do being a smaller studio. We make those type of decisions. We don't have to go through all the bureaucracy, obviously, the things that you get caught up in. You know, there's a lot of people that came from larger studios, you know, and they really like this atmosphere a lot. You know, we fostered this atmosphere where everyone has input and, can throw things in the game. If it's cool, it stays. You know, that's kind of our mantra. So we have a lot of flexibility, and I think that's one of the things that really sets us apart, that a lot of studios, you know, a lot of them do have, but a lot of the bigger ones, I think, lose that. They're trying to just make a product. And so, like I said before, it's more of a we really are invested in this game. We love it, and it's something that all of us are trying to make the best game possible. And I think that's really rare nowadays, that you see everyone that's so passionate about what they're making. And we enjoy talking to all the other gamers too. They have a lot of good input. Let's face it, a lot of the people that are testing our game and checking it out are great gamers as well. They've played these games before, so we're trying to make something that's, like I said, immersive and fun to play. And what better place to go than the other gamers themselves? So, it's a great feeling to have that kind of control, and that's kind of neat being independently funded. We're not really beholden to anyone else.
Awesome.
Right.
I've been hearing a lot about your game in the media lately. It's actually kind of crazy how big of a attention you guys have really gotten. And what made you go with the sci-fi rather than the typical quote-unquote medieval era style of MMO? Because, you know, a lot of these MMOs are just based off of, you know, like the Lord of the Rings type of style, where it's swords and horses and, well, you know, got tigers and bears, oh my, type of thing.
Sure.
Because, you know, for me, sci-fi is one of those really different genres that's really kind of hard to pull off, but you guys have just kind of made it, I don't want to say simple, but you guys have made it easily accessible in the way that it's not overwhelming to look at and to learn about. Like, as I was reading through all the classes and the races, I was like, I can relate to this because this kind of reminds me of other classes that I've played. What made you guys go with the actual sci-fi model?
Well, as you kind of stated, there's a lot of fantasy out there, and fantasy is great. You know, I've played all the same ones you've probably played before as well, and they're great. I think they're great to escape into another world. You know, that's a lot of the reason I believe that people play games, you know, is to go into a world that you don't normally live in, you know, and fantasy is great for that. But not to sound too boring, but like I mentioned briefly at the beginning, when we have our own independent investors and things like that, but one of the only stipulations that they put on John and I when we were starting out designing the game and doing all these things that we wanted to do a online massively multiplayer game was that it not be fantasy. They wanted it to be science fiction. So John and I looked at each other and said, we could do that. And we knew well and good, and as the investors did, that there weren't a lot of really good sci-fi games on the market. There's a few, you know, you could probably think of them. And, you know, what's more exciting than to do another type of universe? You know, sci-fi, that's another, you have a lot of free reign in it. So John and I were super excited whenever that was really all they wanted from us. So we can make, you know, sci-fi, you can do pretty much whatever you want. And that's what we're doing. And the other big stipulation that, there wasn't a stipulation that John and I put on ourselves, really, was that it had to have three factions. You know, we were adamant from the very get-go. There wasn't even any question. We both looked at each other when we started designing it and said, there has to be three factions, so one human and two alien. So that's kind of where we started out, and you know, not to sound silly, but that's kind of how it started. That's one of the only things the investors told us. They wanted sci-fi, so that's kind of where we started.
That's awesome, especially the three faction idea. And I know in this has probably been said so many different times that you are pretty much an old school gamer like myself and Baz, and we both have so much respect for developers who have pretty much been involved with the gaming industry on both sides of the screen. And one of my favorite games of all times when you had mentioned the three faction idea was Dark Age of Camelot. I have so much love for that game. It just brings back so much memory. And in fact, just to kind of give you an idea, I literally went into labor with my son while playing that game. And my husband stood over me screaming that I needed to get to the hospital. But I turned to him and I said, in between contractions, that I was refused to go to the hospital and deliver the baby until I killed my last faction. So I was very dedicated into that game. And so as soon as I saw that you had the three factions, which really have not been, you know, been modeled in a long time, I was just taken away. It was just wonderful that this idea that so many people had loved from Dark Age of Camelot was brought into your game. But with that said, what is your reaction when you find fans comparing the game to other games like Dark Age of Camelot? I mean, is that something you actually feel proud of, that you're bringing the community's ideas that they liked in previous games into yours, or do you try to steer clear of that stereotyping?
Well, I'm impressed going into labor. That's pretty hardcore. you're my type of gamer. I mean, I read your I read your bio before I got on here, and I'm actually impressed that you got off of Mass Effect 3 long enough to do the show today. So
there you go.
I heard you're
you have
a
no
huge
idea.
Mass Effect game.
You have no idea how much I have to pay her to not play that game while doing the podcast. It's an unbelievable amount of money.
Yeah. No, that's a really good question. I'm glad to hear you're so into DAOC because, you know, Dark Age of Camelot, John and I played that religiously. John, the co-designer, is not here today. I wish he was here, but he could speak. He's probably just about as adamant about that game as you were. I played it more casually. I played a lot with him. He drugged me in a lot. It was one of the games I actually bought him originally. You know, that was his first MMO, so to speak, and he played it just nonstop. And so there are a lot of design elements in it. I've played back before that. I play Ultima Online and things like that. So a lot of times, just because John and I love DAOC, sounds like you do too, it gets brought up that there's it's DAOC 2 or things like that. There are a lot of design elements in it. The three factions obviously lend itself to that, but we're trying to bring the best of a lot of different games into Dominus. You know, we're looking at all the best design elements, and the three factions was one we drew from DAOC. Also, the base system we have. You know, there's a lot of the similarities, I guess you could draw from the original Frontiers and the Keep system in Dark Age Camelot. You know, a lot of people remember Darkness Falls, and there is some control elements to it. So it's some of the most fun PvP that we can remember, you know, so we draw on that. But it's definitely not the only game that we're drawing off of. So the DAOC 2 comparison, I don't know if that's completely fair. But, you know, it was a great game. And, you know, even to this day, it's held as one of the best PvP games. And so since our game's in that genre, we're just pleased as could be to even have anyone make that, you know, comparison. So hopefully we can live up to be half as good as that, you know.
Awesome, awesome. I myself was a huge fan of DAOC, and you know I wasn't as committed as Kat. Then again, I've never gone into labor either, so I can't really relate to that portion. I mean, it doesn't surprise me knowing Kat for how long I have. It just sounds like something that she would do.
It sounds like you and I are about the same, and then Kat and John were the really hardcore players. You know, you and I were the. Get drug in there and play, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was one of those nerds back when that just kind of played everything. So I didn't have a lot of time to commit to one game. I was, you know, playing like Doom, Tribes, you know, StarCraft, Warcraft 2, et cetera, et cetera. I was playing all those games all at once and then trying to fit in an MMO or four MMOs. You know, it was one of those. Yeah, so
I'm with you.
Kat is definitely the avid hardcore elite there. As I choke on my own air.
Yeah, see, like Tribes that you mentioned, mm-hmm. That was one of my all-time favorites as well. I mean, I played that religiously, and so you'll notice a lot of similarities in the jetpacking in our game. You know, so we take the best elements from each game, even some of the skiing type effects and things like that, being able to hit mountains and curves at the right angles and things. I'm pretty proud about that. That hasn't been done really in an MMO like that we're doing. So, that's just a good example of a lot of different games that we draw from. You know, I loved Tribes. How great was that game?
That game was amazing. Tribes Ascend is coming out, so
you
and me are stellar for that. But, you know, one question I do want to ask you is, I'm dyslexic. How do I actually pronounce the game correctly?
He's more than dyslexic, but we won't get into it.
Shut up.
people pronounce it different ways, but we're just calling it like Dominion. It's Dominus.
Dominus. Okay, yep. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was telling people the right word, because I was like, you know, it sounds like that phonetically, but my brain plays tricks on me, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, the game has over 11 worlds, and it's 25 large seamless areas that just kind of go on forever. Which area do you think took the most time to develop? Which world has been the most fun creating? And if you could live in any part of the Dominus, where would you live?
Well, the two that are taking the most long to create are the two that aren't done yet. We're still working on them quite a bit. So there's the game is called Dominus because one of the main planets that you go to that's rich in one of the most rare elements that you have to harvest in order to create different things in the game. It's very sought after, is on a planet called Dominus. So, and there's a lot of PvP there. All three factions are there. They're vying for different bases and control of a central mines that is on that planet. And so that one is taking a while because the mines are huge. They're humongous. And we want to make sure we get the bases situated correctly. You know, there's a lot of different bases that the players can control all over that map. It's really large, huge. So we're working on that right now. And it's looking great. You know, we're well over, you know, halfway done with that one. We're putting the final touches on it, and it'll be in our testing soon. You know, Sonia was worried that I'm going to give too much away when I talk, you know, and I'm happy to say that, you know, Sonia's our community manager, and she's nowhere to be found today, so I can pretty much say whatever I want. So she's probably going to have fits when she's if she's listening or when she's listening. But but she's usually
yeah,
she
but,
has
but
she has John
she
and I
about
her,
that shot caller.
Yeah, she has. Yeah, exactly, shot caller. She usually does have John and I on a short leash though, so we'll see. But Dominus is one, and then the other one is the main planet for one of the aliens. It's called Sundara. The one of the alien factions are called Salient, and they're more of a godlike type race of aliens. They glow when they're real humanoid looking, but they can change in different forms. They control genetics and things, but they have a basically a city. They've created a floating type city, and it's really neat looking. They have all kinds of cloning areas and things like that. It's really high tech and cool. So we've got that one over halfway done too. They're putting the final touches on that one, and that will be in testing probably in a couple weeks. But those two are huge, and they're pretty special places in themselves. And the other question you asked was which one would I want to live in. They all are beautiful. I guess the only ones I wouldn't want to live in, there's a couple of human ones, London and New York and China and things like that we have. They're are Earth-based locales. And they're really under siege by the other alien race. And so part of the human campaign or plight is to go back and defend those areas. So they're more war-torn, and it feels like you're in a battle. So probably wouldn't want to live there, but the other ones are really gorgeous. And we tried to vary the scenery a lot. You know, there's crystal planets and ice planets, and there's jungles, and there's all kinds of things. So as you traverse the landscape and go through these huge areas, you know, you feel like you're in totally different places, you know. And so that's, you know, I can't wait to get you guys and a lot of other people in there to check them out. So far, we've got a lot of really positive feedback on the areas. You know, we've got a lot of good stuff.
Now, the worlds being as large as they are, and I remember playing EverQuest back in the day, and it would literally take you from 1 hour to get from one side of the, you know, the realm to the other. Are you going to be, when you deal with the size of the areas, is it going to be on, say, for instance, an hour, literal hour to go from one side of the planet to the other, or is there going to be ways where we could just, you know, take a simple ship or something?
Yeah, that's a good question. The no one wants to run for an hour, right? But the very first part, though, you do kind of have to explore if you've never been there before and run around and find the areas. But obviously, remember, as opposed to the old EverQuest, you know, we have jetpacks. So your speed of travel is a lot faster, so you can get across a lot quicker. But some of the maps, like the mines that I was talking about on Dominus, are even with the jetpacks, it takes over 30 minutes to get to the other side, you know, where some of the other factions are and things. So that's right. Kind of how we're dividing it up. But, you know, they are large maps. There will be other ways to travel. The other thing, too, is once you've explored it and kind of find the different areas, there are some teleporters. You know, this is the future, so we have some teleporters and different ways of transversing that aren't just based on pure physical travel that can zone you right to a new area.
But see, you know, and for personally for me, I, you know, traveling is not a big deal. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who get in games and they just want to rush themselves to the highest level possible, bypassing all the beauty in the scene. And I think that's such a waste of gaming, because the developers put so much time and effort into making these wonderful, beautiful planets that I personally love taking my time and walking all over and discovering areas and trying to find, you know, new things or new achievements or anything like that. So so I applaud you guys for taking your time in developing such a large area and in so many different worlds with that. And now you mentioned about the one of the faction's planets and then also the humans, but as far as the three unique factions, you have the humans, is it the Rodan, and
Rodan,
then the Salient?
Yeah, Salient,
okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about the factions, and are there any male and female selections as well?
Yep. Yeah, the human are pretty much us, you know, at the beginning of the game. And the neat thing about the three factions is they all have their own planets and their own areas they go to. So depending upon which one you pick, you'll have a completely different experience. The humans basically start on a distant moon base, and Earth was under attack from one of the other factions. So you kind of start out as a newbie soldier, so to speak, and you kind of have to learn a lot of your trades and progress before you can go back and start defending Earth and going to all these other planets and things. So, but humans do have male and female selections. They have lots of different armors and different looks that you can customize, which is another important element in MMOs, you know, depending on what armor and weapons you can get. And the Salient, like I was explaining before, is kind of the all-knowing race. They're some of the most advanced. A lot of the original technology stems from their research, and you know, they have male and female selections as well. And one of the neat things that the players will find out about the Salient, though, is that although they start the game in like a humanoid form, almost like a perfected human form, wouldn't that be great? They also have other forms, basically class forms, based on their ability to manipulate genetics and things. So you can actually shapeshift sort of on a with the Salient. But the final race is more of a warlord type race. They're very strong, but they're also an intelligent race as well, have a lot of technology. A lot of people mistake them since they're so warlike that they don't have the technology, but they're all competing factions. That's the neat thing about the game, is they're all competing, you know, for this one resource and dominance, you know, for kind of where we got the name. But they're the only ones that do not have a female selection. They're clones, and you'll find out the origin of them as you play the game. All three factions are intertwined into their relationship with one another. The Salient actually start out as, you know, saviors and mentors to the humans. You'll actually see them at the beginning if you pick that class, you know, that faction. But you know, they're all intertwined and they're all played totally different. You know, the Salient have a totally different feel. They're the overlords of all these planets you go to, and then the Rodan are also they're the ones that play the most on their home planet. But that's pretty much a quick overview. I don't know how much more you want to know. I'll be glad to tell you.
No, that was actually a pretty good overview. excuse me, as I choke on my own saliva there. One of the questions I've been kind of dying to ask is, two questions, but I'm going to kind of roll into one here. Is talk a little bit about the professions. You don't have to go into great in-depth because I don't want to get you in trouble.
Sure.
And the bounty hunter system sounds just awesome. How? Explain as much as you can without getting yourself into trouble. And, like, how is this going to work? Is it going to work like it kind of sounds? And what are maybe some of the rewards we can expect from the bounty hunter system? Because this sounds so cool.
Well, yeah, I'll try and tell you as much as I can. Unfortunately, the bounty hunter system is where I'll probably have to be the most vague because we're testing it right now. But I agree, it's a really cool system. You know, PvP game, it kind of lends itself really well to that. since, you know, what better revenge is there than to put a bounty on someone? You know, if you're in a PvP game, there's bound to be someone that you want to take a bounty out on. So, but the professions, you know, it is, like I was mentioning at the beginning, there it is a full feature MMO. And so one of the core elements of that is that, you know, the players are self-sustaining, that there is its own economy, and we want the players to be really engaged in that. So far we're up to, I think we're up to 9 different professions. We started out with 7, and we've added a couple, and we added refining and what was the other one? It was salvaging, like reverse engineering things. But
just
a lot
keep
of
adding.
We totally plan to, and they're really, just really briefly, though, I'll tell you, they're really, they're on the website, it touches on them just basically, but we're trying to make them very in-depth. Right now, as a lot of people who follow the forums and things know, the best things in the game are crafted. You know, that's, they're player-made, the very best things. So a lot of it depends on the materials you get, and your diligence in you know, making the items. You can, anything you get basically in the game, any drop or anything like that, you can reverse engineer and then make a better version of it depending upon the materials you choose to put into it. And there's an inventor class, but each of the professions themselves can discover different schematics that may not even be in the game at the time, or they're in the game but not discovered. So each faction will be kind of competing to find better technologies and control the fate of their faction that way.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, so it's really in depth. A lot of experimentation, a lot of you know, different materials that you'll control, and finding out different schematics, reverse engineering. That's all part of it. And then the last thing you asked about, the bounty hunter system. You know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty much what it sounds like. We have different rewards we're testing out right now on the beta servers, but you can place bounties on them, and tracking is an important part of finding the people that have bounties on them. And so there will be, hopefully, we're looking at different notoriety for it as well. So if you're a notorious person that has bounties on their head, you can get it for the duration of time that you have on you. And we just want to make it really fun. Obviously, the griefing is what we've got some pretty ingenious ways to keep. The very first thing that comes up always is, well, what if, how do you do this? How do you keep someone from exploiting it? You know, so we have a really good engineer on it right now, and he's thinking of lots of cool ways to stop the exploits. But I'm sure there'll always be a few more, but we'll work on it. But it's a really fun system to do. There's always that element when you log in, if you have bounties on you, you know, that you're a wanted man.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I definitely would be putting that all over my husband's head like crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, let's open the phone lines. If you guys have a question for Warren, feel free to call in 347-838-9713. Shriggs will take your call and give me the A-OK if you are a non-troll, which we've gotten a couple so far. So joke's on you guys. You guys aren't actually live when you call in. So, Nana, we win. And you know, guys, try and keep your questions a little bit more about the kind of the game itself. Don't try and ask for beta invites or something, because that's probably something that he can't give out. Just call in, and I'm sure he will do his best to answer any question you guys might have, within reason, of course. Warren, I wanted to ask you a couple other questions that we got through email. I'm not sure if you can answer this question or not, but how many active people are you going to plan on inviting for closed beta? Is that something you're allowed to disclose?
I can, because Sonya's not here.
That's awesome.
No, we I can tell you right now, when we're refining and like I said, we're starting to get really into testing a lot right now, that it's more along the lines of like 100 to 200 that of
awesome.
really trusted testers that we have. They're great. We call them, there are high council type members that we have on the forums, and they're mm-hmm. they're wonderful. They help us find a lot of information, stuff like that. But I can tell you that the whole goal of Sonya and myself and John is to ramp that up. over the coming weeks fairly quickly, and we would love to have thousands in the game. So as these things start getting a little bit more honed than they are right now, then we'll start releasing a lot of people into the beta. And we have a lot of people that have signed up, so that's good news for them.
Awesome, awesome. I think I'll go ahead and slip you my check in the mail for my guaranteed beta invite.
That goes to Sonya.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'll throw in a little extra for you too, okay, Warren, just to kind of seal the deal.
Nothing
there.
Like bribery, I'll tell you.
It works. God bless America. I mean, come on now. Another question through email here is, can you go over some of the base structures a bit, what's required and what's optional?
Okay. As of right now, as of testing, there are 7 different base structures, and it plays out a little bit like an RTS, because depending upon what you want to, you only need 1 base structure to kind of claim the area for your faction. But to actually control the area, you need what's a command center. So once the command center is set down on that area, basically your faction has basically a point for control of Dominus. And so a lot of the control of the mines and the whole planet itself depends on, you know, who controls the most overall land area, and that's pretty much the controlling entity is the command center. There's 2 other structures required before the command center can be deployed. And, you know, we try and make each one of the different structures mean something. You know, we want to feel like that the players accomplished something if they've actually been able to deploy these structures. We released a short, real quick, like, intro video, just like introductory video, of the mechs that we're having for each one of the faction has their own unique mechs. And so you have to deploy an armory before you can control a mech. So if you've gotten far enough down the tree to deploy your armory and control the base, then you can actually, as a player, go into that armory and call up a control a mech. Basically, you assume the mech and have all its abilities to be able to, and it's a lot more powerful for destroying other bases, obviously, and so it's a pretty cool unit to have on the field, so to speak. And then there's some additional mining benefits. There's we have mining platforms. We have turrets for defense. There's a medical facility that you can deploy that gives you different health boosts and things. Shield generators, which can help knock out, actually not only shield your base, but actually help knock out the jetpack ability of the other factions, which is critical. You know, it makes a big difference when you can't fly around. I mean, you don't really realize it, being able to take them out. So, and defend your base, you'll want a shield generator. So lots of different things, and there will be a lot of different strategies how you deploy them, but there are some prereqs, so it does play out a little bit like an RTS as of right now. But I got to put the Sonya disclaimer that all these things right now per testing are subject to change. Right now, that's the way they are, though.
See, that awesome. Works out nice. I think she's going to be proud of you for saying that, Warren.
We're messing with the time zone right now. They all have different time requirements as well, so that'll all change, you know, from testing, you know.
Right. I've got a question from an email as well. One of your fans wants to know: will there be counters for the mechs? Thinking of an unpopulated faction side.
On an unpopulated faction side.
Yes. From an unpopulated faction side,
the counter to a mech. Well, first of all, they take damage like anything else, so the counter to a mech pretty much could be larger numbers. You know, so you can battle them, although they are very powerful. And you know, the thing about the mechs too, as of right now, they're extremely good in helping to take out other base units, but you know, they're not. They have some other, right now, drawbacks as far as, you know, their speed and things like that. So they're a unit that you'll want on the field. But the best counter for a mech is another mech, you know, obviously. So that's pretty much the way it is right now. But you can destroy them if you just get a group of your, you know, it'll be fun with your party, having a big enough party to go hunting the mechs, you know, and then taking over the other bases.
Right, so you can, or maybe I'm misunderstanding, but you can use the mechs to fight the world bosses.
Only on Dominus. They don't leave Dominus. You have to have a base on the planet. And as of right now, I shouldn't say only on Dominus. Right now, we're testing them on Dominus. There's a few planets, the PvP planets, you can deploy the bases. So wherever you have a base, you can do that. It's not like you can assume the mech and leave to other worlds and go to, you have to be on the planet that has the base to control the mech. If you leave that world, then you're no longer in control of the mech, and someone else on that world can deploy the mech. So it's just wherever the base is.
Right, that makes sense. But and truthfully, I think we have a real bounty going on here in real life outside the game, because somebody had emailed and asked if any of the High Council folk come up missing, can they have their spot? So
yeah.
You might want to watch out for any backstabbers out there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a little scary there. You guys have a pretty committed community there. It's like, well,
yep.
You know, if the High Council people get this special beta thing, then what happens if we take them out? Do we get an extra spot? I might consider this.
Oh, that just shows the dedication to the community there, Warren. I'll have to tell you, you have a good community base.
Another question. I don't fully understand this, but they ask, is he super excited, quote, in quotes? Is that a running inside joke on the forums or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do a little video developer blog every other Friday. And I guess one of my favorite sayings without me knowing it is that I'm super excited. And a lot of the stuff I talk about, I am super excited about. So
They
tease me a lot that I'm overly excited.
Hey, you know what? There is nothing wrong to be super excited about something that you have spent time and, you know, your effort into actually making. So there's nothing wrong with being super excited. So,
the one word that I constantly find myself using on air is amazing. And I notice Baz does it too, so it kind of rubs off. So don't worry about it. You can be super excited. We can be amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I was going to do my lispy voice, but I don't think that would, you know, make people think that I'm straight. So we will just... because I do it really good, so I don't know why. I'm digging myself a hole. We're going to move on. Let's see another question here from the email grabber. Let's see, I think that's every... Oh, no, here's one. Can Prime be refined into higher grade to increase your... Let me try and read this. The sentence is not properly worded. One moment. He is asking, can Prime be refined into a higher grade material to increase an unpopulated side? I'm not sure what that means. So,
obviously the very best things in the game, you know, contain the best elements, of which Prime is included, and Prime being a rare one. So it will have a big impact and bearing on what things each faction can make, so you'll want to get it. But the different elements that you can harvest all have different grades, and you have to refine them to higher grades. And Prime's no different as of right now. I know I've had some discussion with John about the function of Prime. I wish he was here. He could probably adjust that a little bit better, but you can refine Prime into higher grades, and it would definitely help your faction, just for sure.
Awesome. Another question that I just kind of had popping around in my head was if you're able to disclose this information, obviously there is a PvE, which is player versus environment, and PvP, which is player versus player, style to this game. Are there going to be servers accordingly, or is it just going to be all one, you know, one type of server, and there's just certain planets where players can only do PvP and that type of...
Yeah, it's the second thing you said. You know, they're all the same type of game, but each faction starts out on their own, I guess you'd call them protected areas, because we don't want griefing. So the development of your characters early on, you'll be traversing through a few different planets and different areas that are integral to the PvE part of it and the development of your character. After that, though, once you get to the higher areas, it's pretty much on at that point. It's PvP. And so you have to take care as to how you do things. But by then, you know, you've pretty much you've gotten high enough in your skill, and you've you know what to do at that point. So there shouldn't be much, you know, griefing in the way of like a high level person coming and just stomping a low level. You know, that's not what we wanted. So, but so it does have both. The very first part of the game for the hardcore PvPers will be, you know, the hardest part to get through probably, because you do have to play the game and develop your character a bit. But you could technically go, I mean, you could walk all the way to the PvP area if you wanted to at skill point one, you know, at the very beginning if you wanted to. There's no restrictions per se, but there are a long-winded answer to your short question. So
that, you know, that's just something that we're looking forward to in it. And Warren, really, we are, Codebox and Baz and myself and Triggs, we're ecstatic about the game, and we're really looking forward to providing Pitch Black as much support as possible, because we're really thrilled about it. It has a lot of potential, and it has a lot of what the community has been missing for the longest time in games. And the fact that you're taking in a lot of what the community is looking for and taking that into perspective and bringing into the game, seeing if it works and ideas and getting involved, it's something that we're really looking forward to and we really support, because nowadays I think the gaming industry forgets that the whole goal of gaming industry was revolved around community involvement, and we see that Pitch Black is doing everything they possibly can to get the community involved in that. So applause to you and to John and to Sonia. I really appreciate it, and please keep us updated. We really were excited to have you on here tonight, and we would definitely love to have you and John back as the game draws closer to opening.
Sure, anytime. Yeah, I'm sure John would love to be here as well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You guys have been great.
Awesome, yes. And again, guys, check out Pitch Black's Dominus game. The web address is, let me pull it up. Oh, my gosh, I'm not prepared. I feel so stupid.
DominusTheGame.com.
There we go. Okay. I was furiously trying to click on my bookmark, and I was like, crap, which folder did I put it in? I don't remember.
So, yeah, Baz is going to be easy to kill in PvP.
Okay, yeah. Yep. I'm the PvP king, so come after me, noobs.
Oh,
but again, Warren Weems, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us and just kind of give us a little bit more detailed in-depthness about Dominus and Pitch Black. And I really... really want to bless all your guys' efforts on this project you guys are doing. It sounds like it's something that is going to be just really, really fun, and a lot of really fun engagements and just a lot of really fun time as a community. You know, like just that Bounty Hunter system you talked about briefly is, I think, really going to kind of teach other MMOs what to do correctly in a PvP setting. Alone, just that alone is something that I'm looking really forward to. So, again, Warren Weems, president of Pitch Black Games, thank you very so much for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you at a later date once the game is a little bit more finalized and maybe some beta invites have gone out and we can talk about it a little bit more in depth.
Yep.
And we look forward to our next meeting. Thank you so much, buddy.
Same here. Thanks.
Thanks, Warren.
Anytime.
That was awesome, Kat. I'm not sure if I want to play Guild Wars 2 now. It's kind of,
Well, when it comes down to it, if I were to choose between a game that is overhyped and everything, or a game that, you know, is not as comparatively a mm-hmm. corporate funded game as opposed to an independently funded game that has the community involvement and has the ideas and actually listens to their players, I would much rather play one of those games.
Yeah, the Guild Wars 2 has a lot of, like, you know, really shiny stuff to it, but this game, I think would just do better in a more community setting because, again, it's an independent company and they need to follow what their community wants and not just what's popular.
Right. And despite the fact of it, I mean, Warren is just, he is such a nice guy. And Sonia is just wonderful. I mean, just, you know, talking with them is just, is like a walk in the park. They're so down to earth and very committed. So I really applaud their efforts, and I'm looking forward to playing the game.
Most definitely, most definitely. Shriggs has put himself into the live box. Shriggs, did you have something to say, sir?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game too. Just
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very heartfelt excitedness, Shriggs. I appreciate the enthusiasm. Wow.
You know, though, talking about it, when discussing the bounty, I think that it's a wonderful idea. I think it would just be so fun. But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, because I'm such a hardcore PvPer, that I know there's going to be a lot of pissed off 13-year-olds or whatever, and they'll probably want to put...
Come at me.
You know, I don't know. See, that's one of the questions later on that we could ask. I'm not sure if it's just going to be bounties on, you know, your faction, or if you can put them on different factions, or how that's actually going to be. But, you know, the idea of trying to get rid of the griefing aspect, wonder if you could do maybe a, you know, you have to complete a quest within a certain amount of time, or, you know, until the bounty, and then the bounty will go away or something. I mean, that way somebody's not constantly putting bounties on your head.
Right.
And you're constantly being chased. I mean, if they have a quest that you can complete, that may be an idea too, where you can actually go out and complete the quest and then the bounty's off your head. So I don't know. That was just something I was thinking about, that, you know, I might pass across the desk sometime to see how that turns out. But I really applaud the game, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I mean, you pretty much covered everything that I was about to say, and then I just realized that mid sentence, so I just kind of stopped. So, thanks, Kat. I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Ay-vey. I think it's time to move on to our fun segments that we have today. So, let's move on to a couple of interesting categories that we have. Let's see. I unfortunately, I'm getting more questions in through the email for Warren here. You guys might have sent these in a little too late. Yes, you did. Unfortunately, we will have these guys on again. So I will save these questions for a later date. Do not fret. Do not fret, everybody. But where is... There you are. No, is it right here? I think it's over here. Yes, it is. Okay, cool. Kat, I know you have a couple of topics for us to get to, so starting with news.
And now it's time for the news. Stop that.
So, yeah. Your news.
One of the news excitement out there this week that I found out is that Diablo 3's release date is May 15th, and I'm actually looking forward to that. It's been, it's been in development since 2001, I believe, and they announced it in 2006, somewhere around that time. I may have the dates a little bit mixed up here.
Yeah.
What's going on, but it's been such a long time, and everybody's looking forward to this, so I'm really hoping that this game turns out to be everything that Blizzard is vouching it to be. If they tend to lose their World of Warcraft subscriptions to this Diablo 3, then I'll know they pretty much succeeded with Diablo 3 at that point, but I'm looking forward to that.
Can I be honest here, Kat?
No, you can't.
Oh, okay, but fine. Okay.
Yes.
You know, I cared about this game when it was first announced. I have no interest in this game whatsoever anymore at all. And you know, it sucks because, you know, it's a lot like the Mass Effect 3 thing, because I was a huge Diablo player when I was a kid. I mean, like, so much so that I had to sneak the game from my parents because they thought it was of the devil, and... Correct, you know, that's a fair argument, because Diablo in Spanish means devil. And you know, Kat, you actually spelled it Diably on your show notes to me, so Apparently, Diablo 3 is being released sometime in the near future, so I'm looking forward to that, whatever that is.
Now, Baz.
What?
I think I have the perfect marketing tagline for this game.
Yes.
Diablo 3, we're not in Azeroth anymore.
Well, you know, but someone already tried that, and it worked a little bit, but I think in the end it kind of made people upset because they're like, oh, they're just trying to blah, blah. But anyway, back to my point here. I mean, I don't know. The PvP is not going to be in this game, so that kind of upset me, and I don't care.
Either that or they're putting it in at a later date.
Yeah, but a later date means
still
7 years.
Of a pain.
But Blizzard's later date means 7 years down the road. I mean, they released it in...
Yeah, there you go.
I just...
Oh, dear God.
I don't care. I mean, Yeah.
You know, I care to an extent because I really... There's a lot of games out there nowadays where, you know, I have to have... Let me give you an example. ArenaNet, okay, with Guild Wars here and
It's ArenaNet, but that's okay.
Yeah, ArenaNet. Sorry, my mind's not even here today. You're the one drinking.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
That's so bad.
But
trying to get back into my account is like trying to pull a damn tooth.
Oh, I know.
So many different times. And then when I log into the game, I have to give, you know, okay, I have to name one of my characters or something that I've created on the account, and then
yeah, and you're like, I don't remember, what the crap? And then you got to contact support, and then you got to wait 20. Oh yeah,
exactly.
It's a pain, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, sometimes I try to steer clear of certain MMOs after I've gotten frustrated for a while, and I just want to sit down at my desk and play.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So Diablo was always the one where I was like, you know, oh, it was a good game. And not only that, but I could LAN. So I didn't have to be online. I could LAN it up with my husband, you know, and we could just go and play a game.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, Battle.net 2.0 doesn't have LAN support. So, I mean, and you know, honestly, that is another reason I will not be buying Diablo 3 is because there's no way for me to go to a buddy's house or have, you know, go, you know, this sounds really, really stupid, but go to, you know, an adult LAN party where it's a bunch of older adults nerding out over stupid crap that they used to play when they were kids. So, I mean...
I like those parties.
Yeah, yeah, they're a lot of fun. I mean, they're, yeah. But...
And that's, isn't even just with PC games. Like, with more newer console games with multiplayer, you can't have split screen anymore. It's like...
No, yeah, it's just...
Everywhere.
Their companies are not really supporting the community aspect of a lot of stuff, and you know, going back to you know, the what Warren was talking about with Dominius, they're really focusing on the community aspect. So
right, and that brings actually to a good point to our next little news segment is the Mass Effect 3 ending petition.
Oh my gosh.
That has been popping up all over the internet on how the community pretty much thought that BioWare shat on their community.
Just screwed up so bad.
Just the ending. And you know, and you and I had discussed, and we'll discuss a little bit further down the road,
mm-hmm.
but to give everybody kind of an idea of what's going on, the ending was not as what people wanted it to be, or not even what they wanted to be. It just didn't make sense.
It was so bad.
It was just a very horrible, I don't know. They just wanted to throw some movie in there or whatever. But
oh my gosh.
So yeah, so the community was very upset, and they had this petition out where they raised $30,000 to have this new downloadable content brought in. Yep, they raised $30,000 for this cause so that they could have a new downloadable content for ending, a new ending.
And you know what? BioWare will make them pay for it. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun of all you fanboys and all you people who are screaming at me that I was a complete conspiracy moron, but I told you so! I mean,
you know, I love Mass Effect so much, you know me, so
Yeah. It's, but that's funny.
Yeah, that was kind of a letdown there. And then my last little thing for our news segment is that Star Wars The Old Republic, I don't know if they're having some issues or not, but they've been sending a lot of emails out free to play for this weekend and $10 off, buy the game and so forth. What's going on here, BioWare?
Wait. I got one of these emails, but it's even better than that. I 3 weeks ago, I bought a two month card for the Old Republic. And this morning, I got an email from BioWare that read, "Mako misses you. Come back and have more adventures with her."
Wow. Wow. So they're not only offering free time, but they're also catering to the male's penis. So, I mean, wow.
I haven't logged in a while, and that's why they sent the emails, like, you haven't logged in a while. Come back and have adventures with your friend.
Yeah, I've gotten that, too, and I'm like, I've never rolled a bounty hunter, so I don't know who this Mako person you're talking about is.
You log in.
apparently. I mean, it's just like, Mako. It's just like, oh, my gosh. You know, I think that, I don't generally do a prediction type of thing, but I think Star Wars is hurting because they've pretty much just sold the game on, well, we have story, but once you hit level 50, there's no story left. It's just like, hey, re-roll, another tune. It's like, I don't want to. That was so long to get to the max level, and you know, it's such a gear grind in that game, and it's something that I think that they really just, I don't know, they did not handle the game in the way they should have. The new patch 1.2 with all the new cool fancy stuff should have been in the game in December. I mean, people are going to disagree with me on that every time I bring up this conversation, but it's true. I mean, the game cost them, again, not to beat a horse with another bloody brick here, but the game cost almost $2 million to make, and they don't really have anything other than the really elaborate stories that they have to show for it.
It's in the comic.
Well, I feel that they're trying, but they're not trying as hard as they really should. Their new raid content's out, and it's just more droids and stuff. It's just like, okay, I get it that it's Star Wars, but can we stop fighting droid bosses? I mean, honestly, by the end of Eternity Vault and Kragas Palace, I was like, okay, how many more droids are we going to fight that's the main boss? It really felt that they're just kind of repeating stuff, but making things have more HP or different mechanics and whatnot, or just, I don't know. I think that they are panicking because they know there's a lot of other good MMOs like Dominus coming out, like Guild Wars 2. Hell, you know, even Terra is kind of ripping up some media here in the U.S., even though it's terrible and has invisible walls in an MMO. What the crap? Like, really? Invisible walls? No. Just no. I mean, I literally, guys, like, to tell you how much this pissed me off, I got in the beta weekend last week. And I was walking around, and all of a sudden I was like, I wonder what's down this cliff. And all of a sudden I'm hitting an invisible wall, and I'm like, nope, done, fuck this game. And I literally close out, uninstall the game right then and there. I'm like, nope, not doing it. No way, nope, uh-uh. So it's just, I really feel that we are going to have to start looking to other companies that aren't as popular for the good MMO stuff, because everyone's just trying to be the next WoW. And I hate that.
What company's making Terra?
Well, but see, even Blizzard isn't really doing that well anymore because they got the frickin' Scroll of Resurrection. It's just on the Emperor's Court last week, he was talking about that, and someone says like someone mentioned the Scroll of Desperation. And, I mean, what they're giving you is, you know, you can bring someone back to the game that already has an account. You can instantly level them to 80. And, you know, they get like 7 days of free time and just like a bunch of other stuff. And it's just like, what? Why? Why are you companies are starting to freak out because they know that they're not going to be the next hot item for a while because they're not putting any thought and time into anything. They're just releasing a really cool game that has a nice picture and nice, you know, effects and stuff for a while, and then they just kind of forget about it and don't care anymore.
Right,
so,
right. And that comes down to community. I mean, community
yeah.
involvement is going to be the number one, you know, item on the list that these companies are going to need to start facing, because there is going to be companies like Pitch Black Games out there who are just going to blow the competition away because
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah. they actually listen to the community.
Yeah.
And having been involved with the community shows that, you know, these aren't and I know a lot of the companies like Blizzard and BioWare and everything, they get a lot of trolls on their forums, and I understand that. People are just angry and then they just want to take some, you know, they just want to vent or whatever. But when you get a company that listens to the community and they actually respond in a pleasant demeanor instead of some of the demeanors that I've seen that BioWare has responded in,
oh my
then
gosh, yeah.
you're going to get more mature, you know, form community involvement. You're going to
yeah.
get people who are saying, you know, thank you for at least responding. I know you might not have all the answers, but thank you for
mm-hmm.
at least responding to me or something along the lines. So people are going to be more likely to grasp the smaller gaming companies lately than they are the larger ones, no matter
yeah.
how much money they're putting into it. And Star
yeah.
Wars is an example.
Yeah, you know, going off your point of the way BioWare kind of reacts to their customers' support tickets, I'm gonna read something that you posted on Codebox Media's Facebook. You guys can check that out at facebook.com/codeboxmedia. And Kat, what did you ask this person? Do you remember, or is this just something that you found and that you're like, wow, this is not?
Yeah, this actually was something that came up in one of the forums. It was a very legitimate question in regards to the healing aspect in the game and the operative. And the
mm-hmm.
BioWare, you know, technical support, and this has actually been a common way that their support has been answering the community. So I'll let you
yeah.
read how that's been.
This comes from George Zoller. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name correctly. I apologize. But he basically responds with this. Hey, we are perfectly aware that this difference exists. It's because, shockingly, agents are not inquisitors. That right there is just rude and, you know, very, very, very intelligence. Like you just kind of questioning your intelligence there. It's just like, you know, shockingly, you know, agents aren't inquisitors. Anyway, but back to the quote here. The mirror class for agent is the smuggler. The mirror class for the inquisitor is the consular, which he spelled wrong. Just in case it wasn't clear, we have different classes in the game. That means they actually have different abilities, energy systems, cost, etc. In short, it's working as designed, George. Unquote.
He's very condescending.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
his
basically said, well, if you didn't already know, you know, we have different classes that just have different abilities.
Right.
Blah, blah.
Right.
And, you know, I read that and was like, wait, what? And you know, we have a couple comments on here. You know, one person saying, you know, he didn't think it was rude. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's just, I'm just like, wait, what? How is that? No, that's rude.
It is. It is. And I can understand how, you know, in the individual had said, you know, he didn't think that was rude, that, you know, this customer service people have to deal with a lot of trolls on the forums and so forth. But truthfully, and I've dealt with so many businesses in dealing with marketing and community involvement and so forth, that I don't care how many people are going to be spitting out rude comments to me. If I'm a customer service representative and I represent a company like BioWare,
yeah.
my responses should be pleasant and they should never be condescending.
Oh, yeah.
I get frustrated myself, and I'm not in, you know, I'm not one of their representatives. I can understand where they're coming from, but I would never respond condescendingly or rude to the fans who are, by the skin of their teeth, not clicking that unsubscribe button.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it kind of goes down to why, again, I just stopped playing, because I was like, this is dumb. They're not doing anything that they said, and they should be, because they're backed up by EA for one, and two, they should be able to fix a lot of these issues just way quicker than they should have. I mean, if indie companies can do it with other indie games and stuff, then a multi-billion dollar company should be able to do it lickety-split. I mean, that's just how I see it. I mean, guys, seriously, call in. I mean, we want to get some discussions going here. I mean, we kind of emphasize this on each show. We really want you guys to start being a part of this podcast. It's not just us talking and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're a podcast listener, please email in if you don't have a chance to call and whatnot. So it's just, yeah. Anyway, next topic. The next thing I kind of want to go over briefly, Kat, is a couple of our contests that we have going on and might be upcoming. So since you are the go-to girl for that, I will hand you over the microphone, so to speak.
Our latest contest that's going on is has been extended from last month's Valentine's Day contest, and it is to win a iPod Nano from Codebox Media's iHeart Codebox contest. And all you have to do is go to www.codeboxmedia.com. And you can click on the contests link up at the top, and it will be listed right there. All you have to do is follow the instructions on there, like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. The more you like us or subscribe to us, the more chances you'll get to win. Again, this is only extended till the end of the month, and your chances are actually pretty good because we haven't had a lot of subscribers or a lot of entries thus far. So I would head right over there and do that before this month ends.
It's free, guys. It's free. I can't emphasize that. I mean, you don't have to pay for shipping. It's free. So
do it. Free is a good word. But next month, we have another contest going on, courtesy of Digital Tech Frontier and Popar Toys. For Month of the Military Child, we're going to be giving away a couple of 3D entertainment kits, so you might want to listen in next, starting April 1st, and on our website, www.codeboxmedia.com, to find out when that contest starts as well.
Most definitely. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I know Shriggs has been kind of chomping at the bit to do something, so Shriggs...
Yeah, well, one sec. We actually have a caller...
Oh, we do.
To elaborate on the bounty hunting system in Dominus.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. Hello, caller. Thank you for calling Boxheads. We much appreciate it. You are live on air with us. What is your question and or comment?
I don't have a question. I was just going to explain the bounty hunting system as far as I knew it.
Sure.
Basically, it works like this. You can't place one on your own faction. It can only be placed on the other factions. And you have to have been killed by that player within a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So you can't just randomly place a bounty on, you know, if there's a player in the other faction that you want to know where they are or something like that, you can't just place a bounty on that person. You have to have been actively killed by that person or by that person's group for them to be able to place that bounty.
What they're trying
to do is get the bounties to work like a PvP quest end game system. They're really keeping the information pretty close to the vest.
Right.
I don't have any inside information to tell you, but I just wanted to kind of clarify that because I think there was a misconception that you could place a bounty on your own faction, and you cannot do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I was
Thank
really
you. Appreciate
wondering
it.
About that.
Appreciate right. it, buddy.
Y'all have a good one. Bye.
You too. Thanks.
You too.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that was nice of secret mysterious caller to call and be like, hey, I'm going to tell you about something. You guys are going to listen to
that. Oh, don't even try to sound like him.
Your
voice cannot
get
that deep, Baz.
No, I can't, unfortunately. Oh, well.
But, No, I'm glad he clarified that, because I was kind of curious about that. But it just makes me want to play the game even more.
Definitely. Let's see. I'm trying to rekindle my thought process here.
You were talking about me.
Yes. I was talking about Shriggs. I'm sorry. Shriggs, you wanted to talk about your comic a little bit, and just kind of the inspiration for it. Trying to give out too many details, because I want people to go to the website and read it and not spoil it on air, but just kind of give us a little bit of inspiration knowledge as to the comic this week.
Well, this week's comic actually came from you, Baz, as you know. So all hate mail regarding things of Mass Effect should go to Bezleel and not me. And that's like nothing to do with the writing.
I'll send him a lot.
Okay. Thanks.
But yeah, when we were talking, it was basically about the ending. Like, I had wasn't really sure what to do with this week. And one of his friends described one of the endings you could choose as space magic.
Yeah, pretty much.
There was no other way he could figure out how this was supposed to work and the reality of that fiction.
Yeah, pretty much. And we will go over that a little bit more, because I want Kat to kind of give her unbiased snicker opinion on the ending of the game. So thank you, Shrek. It's much appreciated. Kat, I know that you wanted to talk about a off-the-wall game of the month. Possibly. Is that still something that you want to do? Or did you want to go to our Rock the Game segment? I will let you pick.
Let's do Off the Game. Off the Wall Game
off,
of the
off
Month.
Off the Game. Yeah. Okay, that's a new one.
Off the Game. Off your rock or whatever.
Okay, cool. So go ahead.
Well, this game that I've discovered is a... I don't know if our listeners or if you and Shriggs have ever played horse racing games or simulation type racing games.
You know, I actually have, and they're a lot of fun.
then you will just get a kick out of this game, because this game, if you are a new listener, then our Off the Wall Game of the Month segment consists of games around the world that are odd or weird or just plain
creepy,
stupid.
No, creepy is a good word for.
There you go. Right. This month I've discovered a new game that's similar to a horse racing or race car simulation game, but it instead of using horses or cars, you use people's asses. So you basically are going to play an ass. And you will get to choose which person's ass you want to use as the one that you ride.
So, okay.
The look on my face right now is priceless.
Since this game is already going to be offensive in so many ways, does it kind of adhere to the stereotypes of the certain races when they drive?
Yes. Well,
awesome. So to kind of clarify, if you're playing an Asian ass, it's just going to be a terrible driver, correct?
You are so lucky that I'm an Asian female.
I know. That's why I was like, I can say it because she's Asian, so I'm allowed.
You will be happy to know there are several different... I can't even talk.
That's awesome.
There are several different cultural type asses you can play.
Uh-huh.
You can play a white, African American, Asian, whatever you may, hairy
awesome.
Or shaved ass.
Oh gosh. Oh gosh. Oh gosh.
But it's an online racing simulation game, and instead of horses, you race the asses.
What's the name of this game?
This is called Arse Racing. A-R-S-E Race. www.thearses.com. And you can view the arses, or the asses, if you may, at the paddock. Look at the you look at the ads and you place your bets. And the game game consists of five arse races. You can start with 500 royal groats, which is what their money thing is. While the race is on, you can choose to whip your ass to go faster.
Jiminy crickets, where do you find this crap?
Or you can feed your ass whole beans to replenish your ass's energy.
What? What happens after you feed it the beans?
Did you get like a turbo fart or something? It just goes boom. Jeez. So, okay, so, oh, so, you know, so I actually have a legit serious question. So if you pick a hairy ass, does the hair just kind of like blow in the wind as you're going down the street? Like, is it good animation, or are we just kind of talking like cheek flashing?
And does it affect your velocity?
Yes, it's affected by the momentum and inertia of Newton's apple's third theory.
You guys really need to be game developers.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Oh, I could totally make it as a game developer.
Oh, jeez.
All in all, in the end, and no pun intended, you can come out a winner with Fancy Pants, Farting Maid, Cheeky Boy, Foxy Brown, Trouser Cough, or one of the other asses. Again, it's www.arsrace.com.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Kat, for sharing that wonderful... I'm just not going to...
I know. I right now, Shrix is trying to get to that website.
Hey,
you know what?
You are so right.
Let's just move on to the Mass Effect 3 debacle talk. And Kat, are you okay now? Can you speak?
Yes.
You can't. So just give me a minute. I'm crying. This is terrible. Ay vey. You know what? While you're collecting your...
You know what burns my ass? The flame about this high.
I actually forgot to add the word ass in there. I'm sorry. That probably didn't help. Yeah.
Screw you, Beth.
I know.
The show's derailing right after it.
Oh, no, no. You know, it derailed the second Kate brought up the ass game. Jeez. Okay, so I have been playing Dota 2 quite a lot, and the thing I've noticed is their matchmaking system is terrible. To put it simply, I keep getting matched with players who you go like AFK or just leave or just cuss at everyone because they're telling, you know, oh, you're playing everything wrong, and they're going like 0-13, so... that is what kind of pissed me off this week. It was just a little bit frustrating. After losing like three games in a row, I was like, okay, I'm done for today. It's too aggravating. So,
okay, then never ever play with me.
Well, no, I'm
terrible.
Well, see, if I play with someone who I know is terrible, I will give you leniency because I'm just kind of having fun. But if I'm playing with someone,
you don't understand how bad it is.
No, I do. I've seen you play other video games. You are pretty bad.
Hey, just robots, bro.
So Valve, please fix the matchmaking system before the game's released because it's annoying. And also, if you guys are looking for a competitive Dota team, please email me, baz@globalcommunity.com. I'm looking for some recruits to start a team and kind of get into the more competitive scene of Dota, as well as some esports stuff I'm working on. So that's still in the works, and let's move on to Mass Effect 3. Kat, I know that you said that you got to the ending of the game, and did you actually do one of the endings, or were you just too depressed to actually do it?
No, actually, I watched my son finish his ending.
Okay.
So because I couldn't get myself to do it. I love the game so much, and just after hearing everything and just knowing, I just can't bring myself to end
right.
my Shepard. It just wasn't right.
Right, right. Now, did your son do the space magic, or did he? Okay, guys, there is going to be spoilers in this next kind of segment here. So, if you don't want to know how Mass Effect 3 ends, not sure why we would want to keep this a secret because the endings were terrible. But spoilers here for probably the next 10-20 minutes. So, just kind of, if you guys don't want to hear about them, tune out for a couple minutes. So, anyway, continue.
Basically, it just, I'm not going to give spoilers. I do want people to if you've bought the game, finish it. I mean, there's no sense in just not finishing it, like me. But for the most part, I'm very disappointed. And,
okay.
I tried literally playing both sides, both Renegade and Paragon, because I felt that as a Renegade, you know, I was pretty much just screwing people off and not caring about certain things,
right,
to the point where I figured if I got to the ending, I wouldn't really give a damn about what the ending was.
Right, right.
But with Paragon, you know, I become a little bit closer to the characters. I, you know, put time and effort into them. I really take my time in choosing which answer I'm going to give. That type of role play, how I do it with the Paragon, to where if at the ending, now that the ending is a complete failure, I'm not as disappointed. But it doesn't work that way.
Of course.
Because, you know, when you're into the storyline, it's a little bit, you really get into it, whether you're Paragon or Renegade. And if you guys have been keeping up with the endings and the petitions and so forth of Mass Effect 3, it really is a disappointment. And,
yeah, I mean, it is.
It you put so much time and effort into this game. It's you're talking three series of this game.
Yeah, I mean, it was released, what, in 2004, I believe?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's almost 10 years
to develop a relationship with these characters and to create the type of you know, Shepard that you want to create. And to find out that everything that you put all into your characters, you know, is just totally screwed up. There's no closure at all.
Oh, no,
what happens
not.
To your character? What happens to this character? What happens to, does anything happen at all besides looking at a damn tree at the end?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I can see where people are upset, and this is the whole reason I've been just replaying over and over again instead of completely
now,
finishing it off.
From what I've read and seen, the Renegade ending, which is the bad guy ending, quote unquote, I guess rumored to be a little bit better than the Paragon side of things. I'm not sure if you want to, you know, kind of deal with it and see if the ending is a little bit more your style. But what ending did your son pick? Did he do the whole space magic, or did he do the control?
He was Paragon.
Okay. So
yeah,
he used space magic, and everything just kind of worked, apparently. So
right,
gotcha.
And it just yep.
Hi, Shriggs, the comic's up, right? Yes, no, maybe
yeah.
So. Okay, cool. Guys,
it's been up for a couple hours.
What now?
It's been up for a couple hours.
Okay, cool. Go to codeboxmedia.com. It should be on the front page, and just kind of see what we're talking about, because the last endings of Mass Effect 1 and 2 have just been so amazing. I remember in Mass Effect 2 fighting the Reaper for the first time. I was just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Like, I just remember getting to the end and just going, that thing's really big. And, you know, it kind of took me by surprise, but I feel that it shouldn't have, but it did. Because, you know, I've played, like, Shadow of the Colossus and stuff like games that have had big enemies, but the way that Mass Effect 2 kind of portrayed it was just so daunting. Because you felt so damn small and just so damn insignificant. And I was just like, okay. Literally, the first time I was like, okay, I'm just going to fire everything at this thing and hope I kill it. And I didn't really pay any attention to the attacks he did or anything that I had to dodge or anything, so I died mercilessly. Because I was just like unloading all my ammo at this thing, just going, oh my gosh, die! So I just the way that BioWare decided to do the possible endings was just like, what? Wait, what? And you know, one of my friends, Jeff Rawlings, who I have done a couple podcasts with over the years. You guys may know him from Podcraft and the Kessel Run way back when. He's like, well, you know, it doesn't make Mass Effect 3 like terrible, but it kind of makes the whole series just kind of go, oh, well, that was kind of silly. I mean, everything you kind of worked for was just didn't feel as worth it at the end, because you're like, oh, so okay, I can either do this, which screws everybody over, do this, which screws everybody over, or do this, which screws everybody over. So, like, you know, as someone who has not played Mass Effect 3 at all and just watched the endings, I am so glad I did not buy that game. I mean, I hate that, too, because from what Kat said and what Jeff said and everyone else, the story leading up to there was just awesome. Like, there was nothing about the game that was bad up until the ending. And I feel that the ending really seals a story. I mean, you know, Kat, as an author, is that true, or is that somewhat true?
No, that is one of the main reasons why this whole ending process was a big blow up on the internet. Because when you're dealing with Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, you can have an ending that lets you hang. You don't have to have closure in a game. Okay, you can have, okay, you know, you're like in Mass Effect 2 where you're walking around and you're watching as your companions are reloading their guns and everything, and that's fine. You can have that. You don't have to worry about what happened to so-and-so, because you know there's going to be another series, and you can find that closure and find out what's going on with the next characters in the next game. But when you know that's the very ending of a game, whether it's a book or whether it's a movie or whether it's a game that you're playing, you want closure. And you want to know what's happened to all those people that you've come across in your life. And, you know, it's the same way with movies where they have to have closure. They want to, you know, how some of the movies come up and say, oh, so-and-so, you know, went on to become so blah, 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 blah. And then,
right.
You know, and so forth. That's closure. People want that. They want to know what's happened, whether they can see it or whether they read it. And the game just didn't give that. So now you're left hanging, and there's no other series that's going to be there to pick that up. So it's disappointment, and that's the big thing. So, yeah, the closure in the ending of a series is the most important.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be like Lord of the Rings, probably one, and maybe I'm just kind of being a fanboy here, but probably one of the most amazing detailed stories to ever hit literature. And in my personal opinion, I mean, I have really high respect for Tolkien and just the amount of story that he came up with Lord of the Rings. It would be like that book ending with, okay, everyone's fine, and then it says the end. I mean, that's essentially what Mass Effect 3 did, was, okay, everyone's either screwed or fine. Cool. Thanks for giving us money. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, I mean, I even feel screwed, and I haven't even bought the game. Part of me is saying, okay, cool, I was right, you know, I called it, but the rest of me is just like, wow, that sucks. Like, I was really hoping for me to be proven wrong and say BioWare is going to make this some really, really awesome ending. It's just going to end with, holy crap, that was awesome, like the other two games were. And
right.
And maybe that was just me counting on them to live up to their standards a little bit too much. But I don't know. I'm very lenient to the point of just kind of, well, I'm not sure if I want to buy BioWare titles anymore. I'm not sure if I want to continue purchasing games with a lot of story driven into them unless I can be sure of a actual good story.
Well, I think the big thing also is that we have to keep in mind that Drew, who is was the main author for Mass Effect, wrote the books as well, was released. And it shows. I mean, it shows how such brilliant writing, because there's a difference between being a developer and being a writer.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's you can't just toss a developer who knows coding and knows, you know, how to make graphics and so forth into the conference room and say, okay, you need to figure out what an ending's going to be for this. It just doesn't happen.
So he didn't write the final ending for Mass Effect 3?
I thought he
wrote all three.
Supposedly, from what has been going on around the web, was that he was don't quote me on this, he was released beforehand or he left beforehand or whatever. If you notice, Mass Effect didn't come out until after Star Wars The Old Republic, and he had announced his leaving in during the time of Star Wars The Old Republic. So
okay. That makes sense then. I guess that makes sense why Mass Effect 3 wasn't as, quote-unquote, mind-blowing as the other two.
Right, because you basically cannot. So now, if depending on what the case was, now you've got a bunch of developers and graphic artists who are sitting around a room, and business people, obviously, who are sitting around the room going, oh my God, what the hell are we going to do? We've got to come up with an ending with this. Mm-hmm. And nobody, and I'll tell you what, whether you're a developer with this game or not, or a business person with this game, doesn't necessarily mean you know the game.
Yeah,
and it doesn't necessarily mean that you've read all the books and you know how the storyline is supposed to flow and who does what and who, you know, and all the goodies with the background of the history of the story. So it doesn't mean, just because you work on a game doesn't mean that you know the game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course.
Right, and so that's the big thing, is that now you've got a bunch of developers and business people and artists sitting in a room going, we've got to finish this, and they just come up with something saying, okay, well, let's just blow it up.
It would be nothing against George Lucas. It would be like George Lucas writing the end to Lord of the Rings. That would just be like,
right.
That would be like Jar Jar and Qui-Gon Jinn show up with their lightsabers and just be like, we're going to use lots of special effects in our movies. So...
Right, so that's where I think the disappointment mostly is coming in, and I think they've lost a very good author, a very good game writer.
I agree.
I'm hoping, you know, I'm really hoping that Drew will, you know, pop up later on down the road with a new game and that he's written, and you know, hopefully that'll come out and be a blast. So I wish him luck too.
Yeah, definitely. So now he actually helped write the Star Wars stuff as well, the old Republic.
Yes.
Okay, so essentially BioWare has lost their storyteller.
Pretty much. I mean, he was the main writer.
So, for me, as someone who knows BioWare to be a good storyteller and now kind of understanding a little bit more as to why he possibly left, then that really kind of deters me from buying any more BioWare games that are story-driven.
Somebody's going to have to fill his shoes.
Someone's going to have to really try and step it up, because if BioWare continues to release games like Mass Effect and that have endings that just kind of make you scratch your head and go, really? Well, seriously, Kat, I actually was joking with someone at one of the endings. Like, wouldn't it be funny if this happened? And it turns out it did. And I'm like, wow.
Right.
BioWare owes me money.
I don't regret buying the game. I mean, that's me personally.
Well, no, of course.
I don't regret it. I love the storyline, and I'll play it over and over. Plus, I don't mind doing my multiplayer for the time being. But in the long run, it was a disappointment. But I kind of didn't want to put my expectations in the ending as well, due to the fact that Dragon Age 2 was a disappointment
terrible
for me. Yeah, it was a disappointment. And I loved Dragon Age. I mean, I just absolutely loved it. But in Dragon Age 2, you could tell that they kind of just threw things together, and I was like, I don't feel on my character as I did in the first one. So I don't know what's going on, BioWare, but you need to step up to the mat here, and you need to get something off of your you know, get yourselves off
fire
your ass.
Somebody or hire something or somebody. Yep. Like, it just, it's bad. But thank you, Kat. I appreciate the helpful insight to just to kind of, as someone who has actually gotten to the end of the game and just kind of said, well, you know, the story up till then is still stellar, which is good because it really kind of makes Mass Effect a little bit more enjoyable. So, guys, for those of you who haven't beaten the ending, get to the end and don't beat it and just kind of come up with your own ending, because seriously, you guys will be disappointed, and a lot of you are probably going to react the way lots of other people did and just say, wow, thanks, Bioware, for screwing me in the butt. I appreciate it. So, and, you know,
yeah, don't play the Ars Race game.
Yeah,
there's 15 people that like all the endings.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, hopefully that this $30,000 will be put to good use for BioWare to make a good ending. And I'm going to call it out right now. Like I said, they're going to make people pay for it. So, yeah. All right, Kat, you wanted to introduce a new segment that we tried out last week that kind of stuck. We got a lot of good positive feedback from. And one of them was that it ran a little bit too long. So each week we're just kind of alternate between Meech Riggs and Kat. And if you, the listener, has a song that you guys think maybe is something good to listen to a game or maybe for a montage or et cetera, email the show here at boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. But Kat, you have picked out a song for us this week. And why don't you explain a little bit about it? And maybe where the band's from, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. This segment's called Rock the Game, and it is basically focused on music worth listening to while you game or while you're making video games, video movies from the games. I kind of try to focus on a variety of different music, one, because there are different scenes in as I am filming PvP or, you know, any type of other video games. As I'm filming, I like to kind of put music to the scene. And there's so many different scenes that can pop into your head that different music goes to different scenes. So I don't focus on a specific genre. However, I do like to, if you are a band or a music professional who has some music in mind and like to send it to us, you can send it to us at boxheads@codeboxmedia.com for us to listen to or to get some viewers input on it as well before you post it all out there publicly if you want. But I like to also do globally, so feel free if you're in if you're in a foreign country as well and you want to send them over. We don't just focus on U.S. music. This one that I picked out was called Borderline Insane. And Borderline Insane is, the song is What Makes You Think I'm All Right. And Borderline Insane is a band formed in the summer of 2007 by two members from an ex-group called Successful Losers. So if you're looking to find out more information about this, look under Successful Losers or Borderline Insane, and you'll find some more information about it. After a short experience on the Successful Losers, Borderline Insane decided to do a project a little bit more independent and kind of closer to what their lifestyle was. So it's more of a pop punk band, and it's influenced by the greatest bands from Portuguese, Brazil, and American punk rock scene. So, again, this is What Makes You Think I'm All Right by Borderline Insane.
Cool. Very nice.
Yeah,
I like
that's a nice
idea
to it.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, it's not the my style of band. I like more of the, gosh, I am just choking today all over the place. Holy mother.
Beer.
No, it's, I'm not.
Drink some beer and clear your throat.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Hang on. Let me just, yeah, okay.
Okay, that just did not sound right.
Yep, it didn't. But no, what was I saying? Right, okay. I tend to listen to the songs without lyrics and just the ones that kind of get my blood pumping. But, you know, I would use this for more of a montage type of video, or possibly maybe kind of a slower action style of maybe a boss fight or a PvP, maybe a capture the flag style style video, because it has a good consistent beat to it, and songs like that really, really make for good transitions and whatnot. So
Definitely.
So yeah, I mean, it's just like Kat said, she has a lot of different music varieties in her brain, and I'm kind of a one track mindset sometimes. So, but other than that, I actually enjoyed the song. I thought it was just kind of a good song to listen to, and it wasn't like a typical punk band where you get a headache after listening to it for 45 seconds. So,
right. And anybody can go to our website. We'll be able to, the podcast website will be able to have the downloadable versions or samples of these songs if you're interested in them. That's boxheads.codeboxmedia.com.
Yes, yes. It's a brand new website that Kat formulated for us, and it looks awesome. You can comment on our previous podcast, suggest ideas or maybe possible interviewees if you're you have an idea or whatnot. So, Jera, it's a cool page. But I think that kind of wraps up our show for today. I think I've covered. Yes, Shrakes.
Attention, everyone! Buy Journey on the PSN store. Get it. Support these people. Get them to make more games.
Yeah, that is actually a good point. And as my cat runs over my headset and nearly yanks it off me, thank you, Dipstick. I appreciate that. Stupid cat. Would Journey is? Oh my gosh, stupid cat. Okay.
Something we don't have much of in the gaming library.
My wife is over in the other room distracting me. It's kind of not helping.
Pixar didn't happen.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me take one and send it to you. You might faint a little bit. But, what? Gosh, I don't remember what I was saying. Dang it. But
you
no,
were wrapping it up.
Yes, thank you. Journey is actually a really, really cool game. Thank you for mentioning that, Shriggs. It is just kind of like a huge exploring type of world game where the physics and graphics are just very, very awesome. I would highly recommend this game. I've actually heard from a couple of people that they have been close to tears at a couple of moments. So it is really, really emotionally driven, and it kind of grabs you. So check it out. Thank you once again to Warren Weems, president of Pitchfork Games, and the upcoming game Dominus. I would highly recommend buying this game or playing this game, whichever they decide to do fee-based. It's going to be awesome. Tons of community-based PvP. They have a bounty hunter system. They have an in-depth crafting system, which I will probably spend hours and hours on just putting harvesters all over the ground and being like, I'm rich! Woo! We also learned that there is a ass game where you can race different racial asses and be just like everyone else with their hair hanging out the back of their ass and just kind of flowing everywhere and using beans, apparently. Yeah, well, hey, I'm not speaking for myself. I'm just kind of saying that in general. So, yeah. Apparently there's an ass game. If you want to check that out, go ahead. It's disturbing. Check out the comic that Shriggs made about space magic and Mass Effect 3, codeboxmedia.com. Please follow us on Twitter at codeboxmedia.com. Facebook is /codeboxmedia.com. And follow our YouTube, which we will be doing a Let's Play that's up and coming. I'm starting to do some DotaCast as well. And what else do we have going on YouTube channel? Kat is updating her YouTube and Codebox's YouTube with some Mass Effect 3 stuff every once in a while. She's kind of doing a short mini-series with very limited spoilers, if no spoilers, if she can avoid it. And I think that's everything. Have I missed anything?
Nope, I think you're on the ball.
Cool, guys. Once again, thank you to Warren Weems of Pitch Black Games. Very, very much appreciated for your time, and God bless your efforts on your game, and I hope it does well, and very, very much success to you guys and your families. Remember, guys, please remember that complaining will get you everywhere. You guys still have not got that cue yet, have you? I'm not supposed to say mine, and Kat, you're supposed to say yours, and Shrink, you're supposed
to
say
yours. I
was waiting to find out
yours.
What you're complaining about.
I was waiting on Kat.
Oh, well, see, Shrink knew. Kat's just like, la, 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 la. All right, let's try that again. Remember, complaining will get you everywhere.
Heaven is a woman, hell is a woman kicking your ass in PvP.
Shrink.
I ruined the show.
Yep, you did. I hate your people. All right, guys. See you next week. Take care, everybody, and God bless.